Plum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Jennings.
Present.
Dr. Carr. Mr. Kraft. Mr. Crow. Mr. Glickard. Mr. Sharp. Mayor Welsh.
Here. Before we begin the meeting tonight, I would like to say that we have been informed that the decision of the grand jury in the case of the death of Michael Brown will be released at 8 p.m. this evening. Police Chief Charles Adam is encouraging everyone to be home by that time. We have a short city council agenda this evening, followed by an executive session with some time-sensitive items. It is my hope that we can move through this meeting in an expeditious fashion so our residents can return home. The council will then move into executive session with the goal of finishing our work so that we too can be home by 8 p.m. I would appreciate the support of everyone in this chamber this evening to ensure that this happens. Thank you. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council have a change to the agenda? Ms. Carr? I would like to say that Mary Pat Gallagher contacted the city clerk this afternoon and said she was unable to come tonight because of a personal birthday party, actually. So she will be sworn in later to the clerk's office, and I will make that note further down. Okay, with that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Mr. Jennings moves. Is there a second? Mr. Glickard seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We move on to proclamations. There is a proclamation tonight, but with the goal of saving time, we will not read it. Suffice it to say, it is resolved that I, Shelley Welsh, the mayor of the city of University City, declare my support for the Mayors for Peace 2020 Vision Campaign to eliminate all nuclear weapons by the year 2020. We now move on to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of November 10th, 2014? Mr. Sharp, is there a second? Mr. Jennings, is there any discussion? Ms. Carr?
Ms. Palm, will you be attaching Ms. Norton's?
It is attached.
Thank you very much.
The ones up there are attached.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to appointments. Mr. Jennings, you have an appointment. Could you please turn on your microphone?
I'm sorry. I'd like to nominate Mr. Luther Baker for appointment to the Park Commission.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Glickard seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I would like to appoint Marion Reed to the Arts and Letters Commission. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Sharp, you have a number of reappointments.
Turn your microphone.
Could you please turn on your microphone?
Yes, I would like to reappoint Margaret DeKemper, Evelyn Hollowell, and Sue Slater to the Senior Commission.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Glickard seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to the swearing-in. David Stokes was sworn into the Calip Commission in the City Clerk's Office, and as I noted, Mary Pat Gallagher will be sworn into the Historic Preservation Commission in the City Clerk's Office. We have Ms. Pum. I see a request to speak. Is that on out down there on an agenda or a non-agenda item? Could you please provide me with that sheet? Thank you very much. We have no request to speak on non-agenda items. We have no public hearings tonight. We have no consent agendas. We now move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor and members of council, there are two items on the city manager's report. The first item is the approval of the liquor license for Shu Fang, located at 8435 Olive Boulevard, including Sunday sales. Staff is recommending approval.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Glickert moves approval. Mr. Jennings seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
Second item under the city manager's report is the approval of the fifth extension request for the conditional use permit for the Loop Trolley, a public utility facility in the Core Commercial District and Public Activity District. Staff is recommending approval for an extension of 6 months.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Jennings, Mr. Sharp seconds. We do have two requests to speak. The first is Mr. John Rava. Can I remind speakers to please identify yourself when you come to the podium? Please give us your name and address. Please turn the mic on when you come and off when you leave, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes. Thank you.
My name is John Rava, and I live at 7129 Washington Avenue. I come before this council to urge that it reject the fifth CUP extension sought by the Loop Trolley Company. This is the opportune time for the council to reassess its support of the project. Just last week, the Loop Trolley Company and the rest of the community were shocked by the disclosure that its construction bids came in $11 million, or over 40% over budget. The original conditional use permit was granted by this council back in March of 2013. On March of 2014, the council granted its first two-month extension to the Loop Trolley Project's CUP, and the Loop Trolley Company has come back four more times. Each time, it has offered up one excuse after another, and each time it has admitted that the substantial construction or operation requirement of the CUP has not commenced. University City Council should stop just automatically approving these extension requests. The Loop Trolley Company has treated University City as a pawn. We should stop doing its bidding and start doing what is in the best interest of University City. The Loop Trolley Company's letter requesting a six-month extension is incomplete and misleading. It claims that bids and proposals have been received for all of the major construction contracts for the project and that the submittals are currently being evaluated. That is a misstatement. It fails to disclose that its construction bids and proposals were received last week and that they came in at $11 million over budget. In its public response, the Loop Trolley Company claims that it had sent back the construction contracts for rebidding. And that contradicts the contention in its letter to the city that, quote, we expect to accept bids and issue contracts soon for execution, end quote. Unfortunately, the University City staff has also failed to address this over-budget issue. In its brief summary to the council about this fifth extension request, the staff merely copied the language of the Loop Trolley Company request. It did not mention the over-budget bids, did not question whether the Loop Trolley could proceed, and once again, without comment, merely requested that the council grant the six-month requested extension. That $11 million discrepancy certainly calls into question whether the project will ever be constructed or completed. Where is the additional financing coming from? At and after the March 10th council meeting, considering the first CUP extension, various council members expressed some hesitation and misgivings about a number of aspects of the Loop Trolley project. Although the council did vote to grant the extension request, it evidenced its hesitation by agreeing to a two-month extension rather than the requested 6 months. The subsequent delays, the revised plans, and the huge funding gap should prompt the council to do some rethinking. The council should not grant the requested six-month extension or even a reduced two-month extension as it has done with prior extension requests. This is a time for the council to reconsider its original approval of the conditional use permit and of the entire notion of a Loop Trolley project. There is still time to call for a timeout to reassess this project. The project has been years in the making with many starts and stops and many changes here and there. This is a time for reassessment. Someone, some responsible entity, the city of University City, should stop, look, and finally say, this emperor has no clothes. We will save millions of dollars, and we will show that government entities, in this case, UCity, sometimes can resist the lure of spending monies on questionable projects, particularly other people's monies, in this case, the United States monies. I again implore you to be brave, act responsibly, turn down this fifth extension request.
Mr. Robert, you have 30 seconds.
Since my prepared remarks exceed the 5 minutes given to me, I have included further comments in this written remarks, which I've distributed to the council and which I request be entered into the records of this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. I urge you not to renew the conditional use permit for the loop trolley for the fifth time. Since the current CUP goes to December 23rd, at the least you should wait until next month. Bids for the project have come in $11 million over estimates, and some of the bids are being redone. If you wait, then you'll have a better idea of where the project is at. Joe Edwards says construction on the trolley will begin next year. He also said next year, last year, and the year before. Once again, it isn't clear whose name the CUP is being held in. It says Loop Trolley on the agenda, but previously it was Loop Trolley Company, though the person managing the project says he does not work for the Loop Trolley Company. Nor is it clear how the Loop Trolley Company can authorize the Loop Trolley Transportation Development District to act on its behalf, as the city manager says, when it isn't known what authority it has to do so. Also, it should be remembered that the CUP authorizes a trolley route to go beyond what was ordered by the circuit court and what was specifically given on the ballot that established the transportation district. This and other matters are involved in litigation that is now in the federal appeals court. Since you are on a Loop Trolley TDD board, Ms. Welch, it has to be wondered whose interests you are representing, the Loop Trolley or the citizens of University City. It is a conflict of interest for you to vote on the CUP extension. I urge you to reject or postpone the granting of a fifth extension for the Loop Trolley. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chris Paler.
Thank you and good evening. I just wanted to clarify a couple items on the
bidding
process.
Could you please give your name and address?
I'm sorry. Chris Paler, our address 6138 Delmar. I'm the district administrator for the Loop Trolley TDD. It's true that we did put the project out to bid a few months ago. We got our first bid in. It was $11 million higher than the estimate. And after that time, we looked at the bids and broke it up, repackaged it. And then since then, we've had a chance to bid all of the four packages that we broke it up into, and all of those bids are in now and they're being evaluated. We haven't finalized or approved all the bids. We will be doing that shortly and closing on the financing in December. It was, and we hope to or expect to issue notices to proceed in January. So that's the reason for this request. The bids, again, we haven't approved them all, but they're in line much more with our cost estimates after the repackaging.
Thank you very much. Is there any further discussion? Mr. Crow?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. Actually, I'm glad you're here. I guess one question I have is each time you've come for an extension, each time we've granted it, and each time you come back for another one. And so I'm glad to know that the bids are in, but weren't the bids already supposed to have been in? And this really is sort of almost becoming comical.
The first time we bid, again, was we received bids in September, or in August, after the last extension. We asked for the additional time to get the bids in. So, again, the first bid coming in higher, it caused us to have to repackage the bids, which took a couple months longer than we anticipated, obviously.
And so the bid coming in at $11 million was a complete blindside to you and the staff?
It was higher than our estimate.
You didn't anticipate it being higher than the estimate?
No. I mean, obviously, we have faith in our engineers on the estimate. There were several reasons. I can't get into the real specifics, but some of them were not just project-related, but also market-related and other bids at the time, so we got more competition the second time around.
So I guess maybe as much for the staff as for you. I see the staff has recommended approval of this. I guess I'm trying to ask why should we approve this? The staff says we should approve it, so someone on staff evidently supports that we should approve it, so I guess I'm asking why should we approve it? Someone had to look at this and give it a thumbs up.
Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Crow, I think that it's in the best interest of the city for us to proceed with this project. The trolley would be good for University City, as Mr. Baylor has indicated. They've experienced some delays, but I think that we need to do what we can to move the project along.
And who is the point person for the city with the loop project, with the trolley project? Who is monitoring their progress?
Staff of Community Development and the city manager.
Thank you.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. So if I understand it correctly, the bids are now in and you're analyzing them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And when would you anticipate that your analysis would be complete?
In the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Next 2 to 3 weeks. And correct. Would that coincide with when the CUP runs out, the current CUP runs out?
I believe the CUP runs out December 23rd.
Okay, and it's now the 20th, so it's about 3 weeks. I feel a hesitation and a little bit of concern because of the enormous amount that you were over in your previous bid, and that it actually took from, you said you received the bids in September, and it took from September through November before we actually heard anything about it. I assume that you made a decision right away to go back out. Is that correct?
We analyzed the bids and decided what to do. I don't know if it's right away, but yeah, it took some time to figure out and look at the bids and figure out what made sense to do and how to repackage them.
Okay. So we would have a much better idea of the relative health of this project. Once you have the bids in, I'm kind of wondering why we have a six-month extension, a request for a six-month extension, rather than a request for a shorter extension, which would give us a chance to react to your bidding process.
If we take the, as I mentioned, it's our goal to give notice, or it's our expectation to give notice to proceed in January. So the contractor will start late January, start mobilizing. The first thing he has to work on, per the agreement with the city, is the roundabout. So he will start on that. The contractor will start on that fairly immediately once they get going. But that's not included in the permit. So the work has to start in the city within that six-month time. So they'll start on the roundabout, and then they will have to work with the contractor to adjust their schedule, if it needs adjustment, to make sure that they can start other work in the city within the first few months.
Okay, so Mr. Paler, I'm a little bit confused again, because you've just received the bids and you're analyzing them, but you sound like these are good bids and you're ready to sign on them.
Yeah, as I've said, I've seen the numbers and they're in line with our estimates, much more so than the first time.
Would you say that there's an overage that you can live with, or would you say it's kind of bang on?
Not all the contracts are over. Some came under our estimate. One of them's an RFP. It's not a hard bid. And so that's a little bit of a negotiation there, but it's a smaller contract. So again, they're generally in line with our estimates, which was our goal in breaking up the contracts.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes. Mr. Crow is nay. Ms. Carr is nay. Thank you very much. We now move on to unfinished business. Bill number 9241. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading, please?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400, 030 thereof, and relating to definitions by amending Sections 400, 440, 450, 470, 500, 510, 530, 560, 590, 620, and 650 thereof, relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030 thereof, relating to definitions by amending Sections 400.440, 450, 470, 500, 510, 530, 560, 590, 620, and 650 thereof, relating to district regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Glickert moves approval. Ms. Carr seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
I have a question.
Mr. Crow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The city manager through to staff, or just to the city manager, as we move through the permitting process for the outside dining, can someone walk me through what outreach was made to the business owners that are impacted by this?
I'm going to ask the Director of Community Development, Mr. Gandhi, to address that.
Significant outreach was made to the businesses impacted by this regulation, including consulting with the Loop Special Business District and the Chamber of Commerce to ensure that any of their concerns, should there be any, were incorporated into the final product and the permitting process.
And so were those made more outside the planning and zoning meeting and more in the one-on-one or in the Loop Business meetings, the chamber meetings?
Correct.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Jennings?
Aye.
Dr. Carr? Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow? Mr. Glickert?
Aye.
Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move on to Bill number 9242. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading, please?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030 thereof, relating to definitions by amending Sections 400.2220 and 400.2230 thereof, relating to sign regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030 thereof, relating to definitions and by amending Sections 400.2220 and 400.2230 thereof, relating to sign regulations containing savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. What's the pleasure of the council? Ms. Carr moves approval. Is there a second? Mr. Jennings, is there any discussion? Mr. Kraft?
Yes, I appreciate that. I object to this. I think there's enough visual pollution in the Loop as there is. There's a lot going on. There's trees. There's all kinds of different levels of lights. There's plenty of signs. If people can't find where they're going in the Loop without the signs that are there now, I cannot imagine what additional signs are going to do. It's just visual clutter in an already very crowded walkway. This isn't free speech because we're not regulating the content of these signs. All we're doing is saying that this is, you can, right now you can't put signs on public, on sidewalks, okay? And what we're saying is businesses can put signs on sidewalks. We don't need more signs. There's plenty of signs in the Loop. Everybody can find their way to Blueberry Hill and Subway and any place else they want to go without these signs. And I'm not only concerned, I'm most concerned about them just being there, but now there's no standards for what's on these signs, what they say, because we cannot regulate content. So I think it's a bad idea. The Loop has a nice look to it now. This will detract from the Loop.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. As I understand it, this was brought up because some of the businesses wanted to put out an A-frame sign that would address some of the things they might be doing that day or that week, something special, not a permanent sign, and maybe not even every day. So I might want to ask Mr. Walker if this is correct, and we could have Ms. Riganti address that, because I think she's most familiar with the process, and she held those special meetings with the business owners.
Mr. Gandhi.
The purpose of the ordinance is twofold. One is to allow these signs to be placed in various locations throughout the city. They are not currently allowed anywhere in the city. They are considered portable or temporary signs, movable signs. In order to meet the business owner's desire for extra promotion of activities, et cetera, in and outside of the loop, we developed this regulation, which would address the location and placement of the portable sign so that it does not, and ensuring in the ordinance that it does not block sidewalks, et cetera. We do provide for a 4-foot wide clearance zone, and we also do regulate the height of the signage. As Mr. Kraft did indicate, we're not permitted by we are not permitted, as no municipality is permitted to regulate content. However, we are again allowing the portable signs to be placed in all zoning districts of the city.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft.
So, if an owner wanted to put up a sign in front of his business that said, I support Sarah Palin for president, we really could not prevent that from being put up. If someone put pro or anti-gun signs, pro or anti-abortion signs, they could be all over the loop and we have no control.
This relates, there are two separate questions. We have, those are considered permitted signs anyway, as long as they are on private property. So in other words, somebody could put that kind of a sign in the loop specifically. Private property is typically to the sidewalk, though the right-of-way does vary. So that kind of a signage could be placed in the window of a business or any business, as well as on anyone's lawn. What we're talking about here are signs related to the actual business and the activity, so that it's our hope that the signs would be limited to promotion of commercial activities.
So in other words, what we're saying is that you can put political signs on University City's public sidewalks. Is that correct?
That is not correct. We're saying that the signs should be within, on private property. It could be in public right-of-way, provided that, it's a business sign. It's considered part of the actual activity that is occurring within the... What we're talking about are two separate types of signage. We have temporary signs, and then we have these portable signs, which...
So, but if a portable... How do you define a portable sign? So if a portable sign says, say the an owner of a business is a supporter of the Ku Klux Klan, and he decides to put up a sign that says, with a white sheet on it, that says, we're going to have a Klan meeting here tonight. He can clearly, by free speech, put that in his window and on his own property. But right now, he cannot put that sign on a public right-of-way because we allow no signs on a public right-of-way. But now what we're doing is we're saying that all we can do is regulate the size of the sign, but we can't regulate the content. So we're now allowing content of any garbage that anybody wants to put in the public right-of-way. Is that correct?
That's not correct. These are two separate signs. These are considered business-related signs. So
how does the Supreme Court define business-related speech versus the Ku Klux Klan?
Well, this is a business sign, so it's similar to a sign on a premise, on a building that says the name of the business. Then we have other kinds of... Then businesses are also permitted, for example, signs on their doors that also have the name of their business. So this is a business-related sign.
I don't see a constitutional difference. In other words, if you allow a sign, you can't control content on a sign. You can't regulate speech. You can only regulate the size, the letters, the shape, and the placement. You can't regulate speech.
Well, we're not talking about regulating speech through
this. It's a sign.
It's a sign, but it's related to the business, sign regulations relating to the business. So in that instance, we are permitting that a third sign be allowed for a business. The temporary signs that you're speaking of are in a different category, and they're not the portable signs. So those kind of signs are regulated by placement, or size, and those are to be on private property, but they're not to be permitted on the sidewalk or within the city's right of way.
So right now you cannot have those signs on the right-of-way?
That's correct. And you still will not be able to do so with this. This simply allows the common term for it is sandwich board or A-frame signs. It simply allows those to be placed on private property or within the city's right-of-way, and it must be related to the business.
I think there's a free speech issue there. I don't think you can regulate the content of a sign.
Not of this type of sign, we can. But we're still talking about a separate type of sign.
A sign that's on an A sign?
An A-frame sign is related to the actual business. That's the only way that it can be permitted according to our zoning code. It's the same thing as if somebody has a business, they can't put, the name of their business can't be, I support some political something of political nature. It has to be related to their business.
Okay.
So this is the same.
So it's still clutter. Okay, so my first objection, I think you're trying to regulate speech. I think you're wrong. But in addition, I think it's visual clutter, and I'm against it on that basis alone. I realize that billboards are clearly constitutionally permitted, but that I still see them as visual clutter, and I see this as just visual clutter.
Thank you. Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wouldn't have any questions for Ms. Regani, but what I would say is that someone who owns a business that has a significant retail presence, the use of A-frames or sandwich boards in front of our retail establishments can easily impact our business to the positive 10 to 20% on any given day. And I think that for those folks who are business owners on Olive or on the Loop or pick your place, you're talking about sandwich boards and A-frames. When you're talking about a 10 to 20% pop just from that A-frame, I think that is something that we need to take into consideration. And regarding the questions from Councilmember Kraft regarding a sandwich board or an A-frame that has Palin, Pro-Life, KKK, or Pro-Choice, I think we would all probably agree that that business owner is not going to be in business very long, because that's not what business owners do with A-frames and with sandwich boards. They advertise their business, they advertise their prices, they try to get you in the door, but the likelihood of someone putting too many political statements, if any at all, on a business-related sign in front of your establishment would seem to indicate that that retail business is probably not going to be in business very long.
Thank you. Ms. Carr, did you have something? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Carr?
Aye.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow? Mr. Glickard? Mr. Sharp? Mr. Jennings? Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move on to new business. We have no resolutions tonight. We have four new bills to introduce. Bill number 9243, who would like to introduce? Mr. Glickard. Ms. Pum, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3 of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulations as provided herein.
Thank you. We now move on to Bill number 9244. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Sharp. Ms. Pum, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending the University City Municipal Code Section 2.64.225 relating to non-uniform retirement system, adding purchase of creditable services to comply with Missouri State Statutes RSMO 105.91.
Thank you very much. We now move on to Bill number 9245. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Jennings, may we have the first reading, please?
An ordinance amending the University City Municipal Code Section 2.62.225 relating to police and firefighters retirement system, adding purchase of creditable service to comply with Missouri State Statutes RSMO 105.91.
Thank you very much. We now move on to Bill number 9246. Ms. Pum, who would like to introduce? Mr. Jennings, Ms. Pum, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending Section 2.62.440 of the University City Municipal Code relating to police and firefighters retirement system benefit adjustment.
Thank you very much. We have no more requests to speak tonight. Yes, Ms. Carr?
I would like to address the last bill. Apparently, there were two additional resolutions that were forwarded to the city manager from the pension boards. And those two bills addressed our current underfunded status for the non-uniform and our underfunding, our choice to underfund the uniform. And I don't see those bills here. Those are an obligation that we have already, an obligation that we must meet as a city or be in trouble. But I do see a request for a new obligation. So I would request that we think about this. We ask to see those bills come forward for the obligations that we have to fund both of those pension funds. The current status is that one is roughly 80% funded. That's interesting. It's not the goal. The goal is always 100% funding. The second is under 80%, and that puts us at risk with the state. We were cited by Schweig's office for not making the payment that we should have made for the uniform pension. So I'd like to see those two come forward before we take on a new obligation.
Thank you very much. We now move on to citizen participation. We have no more requests to speak. We now move on to council reports and business. We have no reappointments. Thank you very much to all the council liaisons. And appointments. Mr. Kraft has appointments to Arts and Letters, Human Relations, and CALIP. Mr. Crow has an appointment to Arts and Letters. Mr. Glickert has an appointment to the Youth Commission. Mr. Jennings and Mr. Sharp have appointments to CALIP. And I have another appointment to Arts and Letters. Does any member of council have any report on a commission to which he or she liaises? Okay, then I would like to move on to council comments. Any member of council have a comment? Ms. Carr?
Thank you. I would like to remind everyone that there will be a town hall meeting on the flood mitigation on December 4th at 7 p.m. at Heeman Park Community Center, and I've left a few flyers at the side of the room where the speakers' request agendas and minutes are located. I hope to see you there. Also, at the last City Council meeting, we found a nomination for a commission appointment on our desk just minutes before we were to take a vote. As you may remember, I questioned the propriety of accepting the last-minute submission, considering that in 2011, Mayor Shelley Welsh removed the duly appointed and sworn-in Ms. Gloria Nickerson from her position on the Economic Retail Sales Tax Board, claiming that her appointment by Mayor Joseph Adams violated the Sunshine Law. In response to my statement, Ms. Welsh responded that it was her belief that this and violation of the Sunshine Law was not the reason the appointment did not go through. First, let it be known for the record that the appointment was made and Ms. Nickerson was sworn in. This was a removal of Ms. Nickerson after the fact. Second, for the record, I have here a letter to Ms. Nickerson from the city clerk dated January 18, 2011, 9 months after her appointment, stating that the city attorney had reviewed her status and concluded that her appointment was in violation of the Sunshine Law. That is what Ms. Pum wrote. I'm requesting, Ms. Pum, that you attach this letter, which is only 52 kilobytes, not megabytes, along with my statement to the minutes and not as a separate document or file. Second, I would like to address the issue voted upon and approved two meetings ago of the marketing of University City put on the agenda by Mr. Glickert and Mr. Jennings with no supporting data from them or the city manager. What came out of the vote, as Ms. Welsh reported to the Municipal Commission on Arts and Letters, was that the council authorized the city manager to implement the marketing plan of 2011. Those were her exact words. According to Mr. Walker, that included the Neighborhood to the World logo, though Ms. Welsh did not mention that little fact to the Arts and Letters commissioners. You may remember that I requested that the email responses on the opinions of that logo from the Arts and Letters Commission, which were solicited from them, be attached to the meeting, and Ms. Pum refused with the agreement of the vote of this council to make that attachment a separate file, something that's never been done before. Earlier this week, Ms. Pum offered a formal rationale in writing stating, as she did at the meeting, that the attached files made the document so large it took so long to download them. I have one word for her rationale: balderdash. I'm now requesting that Ms. Pum attach these emails from the Municipal Commission on Arts and Letters with the original request from the city manager to these minutes. The size of the file is a mere 202 kilobytes. and I will send all the files together since Ms. Pum seems incapable of reducing the size of her scanned document files. Hopefully she'll learn how to use her Adobe software in order to save valuable server space, which apparently we pay for. Finally, I'm puzzled by what seems to be the flow of information when something untoward has taken place. A citizen informed us at the last meeting that another citizen was observed removing papers from the area of this dais. I was never informed of this by the city officials, but learned from that citizen's statement. However, I did observe after the meeting that a stack of papers was given to a Post-Dispatch reporter. The top page was marked confidential on the upper right-hand side of the paper in sans serif font, about 25 points, big enough for me to read, with a picture of a male at the bottom. There were several pages that seemed to be still photos of the council chambers. Mr. Walker, I'm officially requesting a full report on what transpired, how that citizen came to know, the one who made the statement, came to know the information, how and who provided the papers marked confidential with apparent stills from a video to the media, while I, as a member of this council and an officer of this city, was not informed. If a crime has been committed, then it is inherent upon you to inform us all. Ms. Pum, please attach my statement and the requested documents to the minutes of this meeting. I will submit them to you in a small digital file ready for attachment. I would also like to wish everyone a very happy and very safe Thanksgiving.
Mr. Glicker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm not sure that everybody knows of the passing of Victor Ellman. Victor Ellman was our city manager for many years here. He died on November 12th, and I've tried to do some research. And I guess in Victor's humble way, he just had a short obit in the Post-Dispatch and passed away on October 12th. So I thought it's incumbent upon me, since I went to high school with his son, Bobby, and his sister, Susan, and, of course, knowing Mr. Ellman as a city manager and previous director of finance, that I mentioned that tonight. So he was a city manager in a very challenging time, and I think he should be recognized for that.
Mr. Crow?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I, too, wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and hope that we all cherish what is important to us as we go through a very difficult time this week. I do want to say that this is directed to my colleagues, but in particular the mayor, that I do hope that as we move forward with the continued conversation that really has been rather one-sided regarding EMS outsourcing, that the mayor would engage all of council rather than simply send out an email to her supporters. It seems to me that when we ask questions, we are punished then for asking questions. To the mayor, I would say that leadership involves engaging everyone, and leadership involves asking questions, and I think leadership involves being able to answer questions. If EMS is a fee-for-service business, I think that is a partially true statement, but I don't think we've ever had any time when the fees from our ambulance service have actually covered the cost of our ambulance service. And I appreciate the fact, though it took quite some time to get the staff salary information from the fire department, I think the difference in numbers between the city manager and my numbers can easily be explained, and it would behoove you at times to maybe ask those questions. And I'm also surprised that in your email you say that a increase in salary costs for the firefighters would instigate a property tax increase, and I'm not exactly sure how that would work, but I'm sure that you will take the opportunity to explain that to me. Just because you ask questions of the city manager and just because you ask questions as to the propriety of an act does not make you a vocal opponent. It means you are doing your job.
Any other comments? I have just a few comments. I would like to say that I continue to look forward to when Mr. Walker continues his research and the staff comes to this council. with research on this issue and makes a recommendation or doesn't make a recommendation, as he has promised to do. As some of you know, I have organized a citizen volunteer corps. Coincidentally, the second meeting of the CVC group that is working to organize a community conversation on race, class, and culture in University City will be meeting tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. at the St. Louis Bread Co. in the U-City Loop. If you are interested in being involved in that discussion, I encourage you to come, even if you are not an official member of the group. And I am organizing the next big meeting of the CVC also on December 4th. With that, I would like to entertain a motion to go into closed session according to RSMO 910.021 Legal 1, Legal Actions, Causes of Action or Litigation Involving a Public Governmental Body, and any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorneys. Is there a motion? Mr. Jennings moves. Is there a second? I'm sorry.
Who seconded?
Mr. Clickert seconds. And we are encouraging that this will start at 7:20 in about 4.5 minutes. Is there any discussion among members of the council? Any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Pump, would you please call the roll on a motion to go into executive session at 7:20 on the second floor of City Hall?
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow? Mr. Glickard? Mr. Sharp? Mr. Jennings? Dr. Kerr? Mayor Welsh?
Aye. Thank you very much. Council will start in about 4.5 minutes. Thank you.